Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
When the red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red Robin comes bobbing along.
You may be excited that this could be the last show of the Roland du Châtelet era, but I've got to sit here and work out how on earth we're going to fill an hour and a half each week once he's gone. All right, lads. Good evening. It's a good evening here on Charlton Live.
Woo!
Good evening. So you're very welcome. To joining us here on Charlton Live. This is your Sunday evening here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez. On tonight's show, we'll be looking back at yesterday's wonderful 2-0 win over Plymouth Argyle. Lee Bowyer's first game in caretaker charge. And of course, we will be discussing the fact that tomorrow could be the day that Roland du Châtelet's grasp on this club is finally removed and the sale could be going through tomorrow as per what everyone's saying. Which is not normally true. Fingers crossed. And on tonight's show, joining me here at the Valley is Nathan Miller. Doing Nathan?
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Gunnosaurus picture as well.
Yeah. Nathan and myself are very lucky to have met Gunnosaurus earlier today. And we saw Ty from Arsenal Fan TV. So we've had a bloody great day. And we have McDonald's on the way here as well. Joining us in the studio as well. Terry, how you doing, Tel?
Well, normally I'd feel a bit left out after your shenanigans today. But actually, I'm quite happy.
I didn't make it.
I took it off. Knowing that you'd probably rip it, I spent 3 hours paring it off with a knife.
Oh, yeah, of course, Terry. You had your PSA test yesterday. Very brave of you. I hope.
Hardly.
Well, I would never do that.
No?
No, I'm not good with needles.
Ah, right, yeah. Okay.
Well, something that
someone have to knock you out first.
Yeah, that's something I have to worry about when I'm a bit older. Right, so on tonight's show, we've got to look back at yesterday's wonderful 2-0 win over Plymouth Argyle. We're going to hear the commentary highlights, and just a spoiler alert, they're pretty good. They're really good, especially when Lewis Page scores.
It's loud, isn't it?
Yeah, very loud. We're also going to hear our exclusive interview with caretaker boss Lee Bowyer. And Tell, you knocked that one out of the park as well. It was a superb interview with Bowyer, so I'm really looking forward to playing that. To you guys, we're going to discuss, obviously, as I said, the potential takeover. We want to know what you guys think about that, and also what you think about the game as well. So get involved. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can go onto the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well. If you want to have your say on anything, the takeover, managerial situation and managerial change, of course, the game yesterday. Anything you want to say, let us know. Let's read it out on tonight's Charlton Live. And finally, of course, today was the women's team. They got into the FA Cup quarterfinals, went up to Arsenal. In the end, it sounds a heavy defeat when you say it's 5-0, which is what the scoreline was. But if you had to be there, you have to understand that Arsenal are one of Europe's elite teams. They're a full-time professional club. Charlton are two divisions below. You know, Charlton are winning their very good chance of winning their league, but you know, this is a part-time club against a full-time club, and they really played well, particularly in that first half, to keep them at one. Conceded early, kept them at 1-0 for the majority of the first half. Defended really well, and they're just a little bit of tightness setting towards the end, but a really good performance from Ritesh's team there. So we'll hear from Ritesh Mishra, the women's team manager, later on this evening after a decent performance up at Arsenal. You know, absolutely no harm done there. Right, but first things first, tell 30 seconds analysis of yesterday's 2-0 win that puts us right back in that playoff race.
Yeah, well, bizarrely, yes, it does. Well, chalk and cheese, isn't it? From previous weeks. And I don't just mean a formation. It was and I don't want to preempt what people are going to hear from Lee Bowyer, so I'll leave that bit alone. But yeah, just the way we played, the way we were set up to play, the attitude and the general feel of the place. Really, there was just, because of course there's the other thing happening potentially soon, maybe one day, that everybody's got that little bit. There's a little bit of buzz about the place, and there was yesterday. Even though I thought there'd be a few more people come back actually yesterday, but wasn't really okay. Yeah, I guess you're right, and that I can understand. But even with the people that were here, that you know, the relatively small number in compared to what we should be having, there was still just a little bit of a feel good factor about the place, and that clearly rubbed off on the players, as did the sort of new impetus they must have got from having Bowyer and Jacko in charge.
Right, if you want to have that feel-good factor rubbing off on you, have a listen to this.
Fossu, who turns into the centre circle, starting around the opposite way. He's got to his right-hand side, Dijkstil. In a little bit of space, Dijkstil. Chance to cross, gets the cross in. Gyro's there, just cleared away, but it'll drop to Page. Might think of a shot here. Page takes it. Into the
top! What a goal!
Oh, what a start!
Goal from Lewis Page!
Lewis Page has been out of action for over a year. Came back at Blackpool and only lasted a few minutes. He's first real touch of the game sees him slam a shot into the top left-hand corner, and Charlton had the lead in 3 minutes.
Well, there's a player who hit that with such anger, with such frustration. He's been out of the game for so long, been hit with injury after injury. The ball comes out to him early on in the game. He touches it down well as a half volley. It sits up perfectly, and he just smacks it. Smacks it over the goalkeeper, Matthews, hits the underside of the crossbar and in. What a strike from Page. What a start for the Addicts. Well, under the new regime.
Hairs on the back of my neck are firmly upright. And of all the people to score it, Lewis Page, who's had such a disastrous year. And I don't think there's anybody in the country, unless you're wearing green, will begrudge him that.
In the centre circle, two men converge on it, two in green shirts, and get there ahead of Fosser, and Plymouth have it back. There's Ness releasing. Sawyer releases Lemaris into the box. Ball cut back with Taylor, and it's a shot off the post. Was that a touch? I think
it was
from Amos.
From
what
Amos.
A save that is. I thought it was a goal. Amos pulled off the save, and that's got to be a foul.
Touch to Reeves. Reeves has got Page on the opposite
lovely
side.
Ball.
Lovely spot.
What a ball.
And he picks out Reeves in space. Crossing the halfway line, Reeves. Page up to, that's a lovely dummy by Jose. Gyro finds a Jose again. Chip ball in. Looking for Fosu. Just too high, but it'll run to Aribo on the opposite side of the penalty area. Back into the box, the header!
Yes!
Oh, Gyro scored!
Superb
football from Johan, from one side to the other. Lovely cross from Aribo. Gyro header, 2-0 Johan.
Oh, superb football from Johan. Counter-attack play. Page on the left-hand side, lovely ball inside to Jose. He dummies it, for Jairo, back out to Jose, whose cross was just a little bit too much for Tariq Fosso in the middle. There, Aribo picks it up, perfect ball in the box, and Jairo, I think he mishit his header, but it just goes in for Charlton. 2-0 up. What a start from the Addicts today.
Forward, looking for the run of Jairo, who's got behind the defence. Keeper's come out. Oh, it's handball! That's got to be handball. The keeper's caught it on the edge of the area now. That's got to be, well, I don't know. There were two Plymouth players around him, but what the punishment for that? He's not even going to book him. What's that?
Well, Bowie is obviously calling for a red. I don't know the...
It's got to be at least a booking.
It's deliberate handball, isn't it? Really, keeper was caught out of position. What a ball from Page as well! It's a perfectly timed chip ball forward towards Jairo. Had the keeper not got there, Jairo would have got there. I'm not saying it was a goal scoring opportunity per se, but with the goalkeeper out.
But that's got to be at least a booking, surely.
Forsakowski, it's a deep one towards Jairo, and Bauer peeling it. It's a good save. Bounces down, cleared away. Bauer won the header, hit it down, and Matthews, who's lucky to be on the pitch, some will say, is able to clear it away.
And Jose inches away from finishing it off.
To Taylor. Oh. He gets in a pounce here, gets a bit lucky. Now Carey goes for goal and just wide. Carey showing his class for Plymouth. And no, they find themselves 2-0 down. That shot was just wide. It was a free kick, which Forsakowski shall take. Can they make it three before half time? Ball towards Bauer, heads into the pounce here. It's a decent one. A great strike! Saved by Matthews, comes back out. Felkel clears behind for a corner. What a good strike from Jose. That would have been a hell of a goal.
What an effort that is. Bauer with a header back across. I thought he was aiming for Jairo, but it dropped to Jose. Just a snapshot with his right on the drop. And nearly caught Remy Matthews out in the goal, who did well to save it in the end.
Bit of an angle for a cross, instead holds it up, and there's the half-time whistle. What a great first 45 minutes for Charlton. So on the right, it's Zyro if he wants to use him. Instead goes out left to Ben Reeves. Reeves down the line for a Jose. Jose flicked back to Fosu in the penalty here. Fosu go for goal! Oh! Just wide on his right foot, cut inside. And it looked like it might have been finding that far corner. Instead goes wide.
That was superb. We'll have a quick look at the monitor to see how close it was.
It's so close.
Inches from giving Charlton a 3-0 lead here. And again, lovely football from Charlton. And he swings it forward, looking for Jairo. Attack the ball. Gets a header on it as well, trying to find a Jose. Into the box, turns, hits it. Needed a save from the keeper, because that was going inside the left-hand post.
Well, I've been really impressed with Nicky Jose. I've been really impressed with Nicky Jose today. He's clearly trying to make a point. He was this big money signing a couple of seasons. Seems like a couple of seasons ago. Hasn't worked for him on loan. Been folded out of the team. And it's a great run again. A great flick on from Zyro. What a strike to get it on target. Keeper palms it behind for a jump.
He goes back to his keeper, who knocks it forward. Pierce underneath this, finds Aribo. Aribo touches it past this man. Lovely football. Joe Aribo still on it. Releases Jairo into the penalty area. Chance to finish it. Just wide right of the goal.
Oh, great chance for Charlton to win the game. Aribo again at the heart of it. Lewis Page is injured meanwhile. But at the heart of it, lovely ball to the right. Jairo just peeled off his man, worked himself a bit of space on his weaker foot, just dragged his shot wide
as the goal kick comes away, and the referee blows the whistle for full time. A pulsating game here at the Valley.
So there we heard it, the highlights from Valley Pass of yesterday's superb 2-0 win over Plymouth that drags us right back into playoff contention. And when you look at the performances that we've seen over the last 3 weeks, and now, you know, it's been revealed since Carl's left that a lot of us knew that Carl's wanted out for exactly 2 weeks, and that was very much rubbing off on his team. But yesterday you saw absolutely none of that.
I think, like Tel said in just before you went to the clips, I think if we put the formation and the style to the side, I just think the work rate and the determination of every single player, I couldn't really, I mean, I had a man at a match, but it was hard for me to pick one person. I don't think anyone had a bad game at all. And I just think, there was, like Tel said, there was a buzz. There was a little buzz around the place and everyone seemed to know what they would do. Everyone knew what their role was. And we seemed more of a unit than we have in, obviously, previous weeks. So, like you say, it's a massive improvement.
Which is strange, when you hear Bowie's interview. But it's obvious he didn't have a huge amount of time with the team on his own. So obviously he's worked with them alongside Carl. But this is the first time he's had the opportunity to shape it his way. And he said midweek, you know, this is my team now. They've got to do what I tell them. And the one thing he did say was, what you will see is you won't see anybody leave anything out there. You know, they'll all give it 100% and they'll leave nothing to on the pitch. They'll give their all, give everything. And you saw that yesterday. I think if we hadn't won, you'd have still have seen a performance that was a lot more committed than we've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
And, I mean, Nathan, I know you both said sort of put the formation to one side, yeah. But let's bring it back from the side into the middle again. I mean, that was a big call because, you know, we have played 4-2-3-1 for the majority of this season. We've had fans, you know, very upset with that recently, in particular when it hasn't been working. Now, Lee Bowyer, you know, think about it. He's been taught by Carl Robertson. That's who he's done most of his learning from in terms of coaching, you know, in the past year. But he straight away has deviated from that. He's gone to 4-4-2. He said he was going to do it his own way, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he played a narrow formation, which I feel obviously it suited us yesterday, but my only concern, sort of even 2-0 up earlier in the first half, was we're forcing them out wide, which is fine, but then they're coming against obviously Lewis Page, who's been out for a year, and you know young Anthony, who obviously had an amazing game as well. So we're obviously forcing them out in the wider positions, and obviously them getting crosses in the box. But just said off air to tell, Jason Pearce was my man of the match, but him and Paddy, they dealt with everything. And then, I think they didn't really have a lot. But I think, and Bowyer had done his own work when he said about their DM. I don't know which one it was. Was it Moses McCarthy?
I've got a feeling it might have been Fox he was on about. But yeah, it was either Fox or McCarthy.
But that's what I mean. So, and he's done his own work, and that was the only problem because I thought we were going to get overrun on the flanks. But no, I think he obviously had a bit of a stroke of a tactical genius there for Bowes.
Yeah, I mean, is he our greatest manager of all time?
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah, I would have said that even if he lost.
Now, I mean, when you are cutting your managerial teeth, so to speak, and it's your first game, obviously you want to get your feet under your table and hope for nothing too bad to happen in the first 5 minutes. If you can, maybe score a 25-yard screamer. I mean, what a goal that was from Lewis Page, and I was so delighted for him. Now, we heard from him on last week's show, from the Red, White and Black Day March. That's the first time I've ever got to meet him. And he did seem like a really nice chap, and he's so down on his luck over the last year since he's come here. Injuries, red cards, he's never had a run in the team before that year out he's just had. And my God, what character to come back from that, to score a goal like that, to have the minerals to take on a shot like that when you've just come back. But then the performance that followed from it as well was superb.
He played superbly yesterday, no question about it. And he'd run Pearce close to my man of the match as well. But I'd probably edge it with Jason Pearce. But I mentioned it on commentary there. If anybody in the country, unless you're a Plymouth fan, had to pick somebody to score a goal like that after the year he's had, not just the season, after a season and a half, I suppose, that he's had, you'd give it to him, wouldn't you? Because somebody like that deserves a bit of luck. And so it couldn't have happened to, as you say, he's a nice fella, so it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke and to a more justified person. Yeah. Because I wouldn't say it's just reward, because it's, you know, a year out's a long time to have to miss football. But it would have helped, I think.
Yeah. You need 3 or 4 of those before it's worth a year.
Well, he tried it again a few minutes later, and then it came closer to me than it did the goal.
Did it go for a throw? I'm sure it did.
It's all I always say, do it once and pretend. Just pretend that you're obviously going to do it again. Leave everyone guessing. I mean, we'd already started pretty lively. It was within the first 25 seconds we saw a lovely little flick, wasn't it, from Ajoze into Zyra. And straight away you're thinking, oh, look, two up top working together. Oh,
who'd have thought?
Yeah. I mean, that decision to play the two up top together, two of whom you haven't played too much football, straight start them, again, paid off. I thought Ajoze was excellent.
I thought Ajoze was brilliant, not only with his work rate, but his movement, which obviously led on to the second goal. But yeah, I mean, they both look live, and we said it all year. I mean, we're not taking anything away from Josh. But when we played him up on his own, those sort of flicks, you know, that Zyro or Ajoze got yesterday, they usually come to nothing because there's no one in and around him anyway. So even if it comes off his shoulder, like it could happen yesterday, you would have thought Ajoze or Zyro was going to get onto the loose ends, which they did a couple of times, and Ajoze had a couple of chances. But it's a bit more positive, and you're giving the two centre-halves something to think about instead of just having one lone striker where they can have one go tight, one sweep. So it just gives them an element that they can think, well, hang on, we've got a little whippet here who's going to come in behind us. So, but yeah, no, I was really, really impressed with the front two yesterday.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see when Josh is back, whether he, because And I think Carl alluded to a couple of times, and I actually agreed with him at the time, that Josh's, if you can call it a problem, but Josh's tendency is to go wide and run into the channels, because he plays for wide for Northern Ireland, and he's very accustomed to doing it. So his tendency is to come out from the central position and run into the channels and get fed into the channels. Of course, he gets the ball and there's nobody in the box. Now, then you're relying on your attacking or defensive midfield players to get into the box late. And if they don't, because up to this point, we've tended to be overrunning midfield. And there'll be a very interesting point that in Lee Bowyer's post-match, which I won't reveal now. But basically, he noticed and realised that might be an issue, so he did something to change it. And that's what was refreshing for me. And again, I'm not going to preempt the interview, I'll let you play it. But the fact that it's a clear change in the way the team was set up.
Now, we had a couple of minutes that really could have turned the game on its head. And luckily, both instances in it went our way. The first of which was when Ben Amos got absolute fingertips onto Taylor's low shot. Now, I'm not even sure the majority of people from where we were sat even saw it, because I noticed the club didn't even tweet about a save, and I think Rich further down didn't even tweet about a save, but you could clearly see the low shot. I mean, Amos got the merest of touches onto it, but it pushed it onto the post, and it got clear. And if you then saw Ben Amos celebrating like he just won the World Cup, you could tell that he was very pleased with that. What a superb save that
was. It was my instant reaction that he saved it.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it on commentary. And then I sort of thought about it after and thought, I'm going to look a bit of an idiot if he didn't. But yeah. I was convinced he touched it under the post. And as you say, his reaction afterwards sort of gave the game away.
Yeah.
But if that had gone in, different story perhaps. And then, of course, you know, you can second guess. You can say, what ifs. If Page's first shot had gone anywhere near his second one, then we wouldn't have been 1-0 out at the time. Maybe heads might have started to drop at that point. Who knows? But we got given the perfect start. They didn't really threaten us that much going forward, except
rarely.
For that point. Carey was clearly their best player. The centre-forward was at Taylor. It was just a bit of a lump that I think Jason Pearce loved dealing with that. I think he relishes that sort of thing. I mean, he just looked like a man possessed, just Jason Pearce. He was a rock back there. Nothing was coming past him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then only 2 minutes. So 2 minutes after that save was our second goal. It was a great move down the left hand side. And it was just a slightly overhit cross, wasn't it? And it went over the head of Zaire, and Aribo kept it in on the far post, crossing towards the near post, and a bullet header into the bottom corner. And now all of a sudden, 17 minutes, we're playing good football. We've got a former player who's a bit of a fan's favourite as manager. We're 2-0 up, clocks are going forward, everything's going right all of a sudden at once, and the takeover's coming as well. It felt that first 45 minutes in particular yesterday, it just felt like everything was finally coming up Millhouse, but for Charlton.
As soon as it happened, I tweeted, I said, am I dreaming? Because it was like, I've said to you earlier in the car, that first goal, that's the biggest celebration I've done at home this year, because I just knew how pivotal yesterday was, because it was all or nothing, I think. The whole day was just brilliant, and it was just like you said, everything just came together, and it was just like amazing. But
I think a lot of people are still being actually swept along by this emotion and the roller coaster that we might be seeing. You know, the change happening, not just on the pitch, but off it as well. And I think we're all just riding on a little bit of a wave of hope, I suppose, for want of a better word. And I felt that yesterday generally. And it's probably what came across in the goal celebrations, because, of course, we knew it was Page, and there was a little bit of emotion involved in him scoring. But even the second one, there's just that, you know, we're beating a Plymouth side that hadn't lost for God knows how long, you know. They'd only lost 3 in 20, and we'd only won 4 in 20. So, you know, there was that against the odds issue as well, that we just looked a better side, and that, along with all the rest of the stuff that might be going on, it was just an emotional day yesterday. Yeah.
Now, one moment of controversy that everyone's trying to scramble around to try and work out what the rule is. Now, the goalkeeper, I think Remy Matthews...
Referee certainly didn't know it.
Yeah, well, Remy Matthews has come screaming out of his box on the right-hand side as he looks at it to try and claim the ball, bouncing ball. And he's caught it as he's exiting the penalty area. So it's a free kick. Now, fans around me were screaming for a red card. Now, I don't think it was a goal-scoring opportunity, although I think Lee Bowyer disagrees with me. But from the tight angle and the defenders around him. But do you think certainly a deliberate handball has got to be a yellow card at the minimum?
I'd say yellow, yeah. I wouldn't say it was a red. But you don't know. You know, the referee don't know, like Tell said, so we can't all agree on everything. But I would have said a yellow.
I was questioning, you know, as the law changed, you know, because, you know, the law changed with the red card with a penalty now, isn't it? So you don't get double punished if it's a genuine attempt to play the ball, not just taking somebody out. But with the goalkeeper, I thought it's not as if he sort of dived for it, caught it, and then fell out of the box, you know, like by accident. You could see his face.
He knew, yeah.
He knew what he said. Oh, should I catch this? Shouldn't I catch it? If I don't, he might score. I'm going to catch it. So he knew what he was doing. He did it deliberately. That's got to be the very least a yellow card. I get the red card's a debatable thing, and I'd been surprised if it had been red, if I'm honest. But he didn't even talk to him.
Yeah.
It was just, I couldn't grasp it.
I
mean, there's a lot of decisions from referees that I tend to not be able to grasp, and that's up there.
Yeah. The rest of the first half, I thought, you know, we were looking pretty good. We had Bowers or a header cleared off. And I think there, other than the one that hit the post, Graham Carey had a sort of a left-footed, low bending effort that went just beyond the far stick. That was like a decent effort, but as well. And then just right on the stroke of half time, and the Jose nearly got his first goal in Addicts colours for a very long time with that volley that was well saved by Matthews. But he caught that pretty sweet, didn't he, just before half time?
Oh, I thought that was in. As soon as that left his foot, I thought that was in the top bins, and I was about to scream and take off my shirt, and no, I wouldn't really. But no, I wouldn't do that to everyone. That's disgusting. But no, I thought that was in, and I was just amazed. But again, his all round performance yesterday was amazing, and in a way, like Paige, I wanted the Jose to score as well, because I know he's sort of been in and out, and does he deserve a chance and all that sort of stuff. But he didn't get the goal that he wanted, but obviously his performance was more than adequate.
He's become a typical Charlton player, point to prove.
Yeah.
Because he has, you know, he set the world alight at Swindon, scoring all those goals. He came here, and for whatever reason, some people are saying it's attitude, some people are saying it's just not, he's not the way, he doesn't play the way some managers want to play. But for whatever reason, he was frozen out. And even when he went to, was it Bury? I'm trying to think where he went.
Bury.
He seemed to get frozen out of there as well. So he's somebody who can score goals, clearly. I mean, and I've said it many times, if you've got somebody you know can get 20 to 25 goals a season, play to him. I don't care if he's the worst, you know, nobody likes him, or, you know, he's the worst person to deal with. If you know he's going to get you 23 goals, allow for it. Just try and make it, you know, make it work.
At half time, sort of sitting there thinking, right, if we can hold on to this, this is a big result. You're thinking, well, what's this second period going to be like? But I never really felt threatened at all. I mean, they had a lot of possession in the closing quarter, maybe, but I mean, we had the better chances throughout the second half as well. That superb little bit of link-up play on the edge of the box with Reeves and Jose ended up with Fosu, curled it just beyond the far post. And then, I mean, especially when Plymouth have made a double sub, you think, right, this will be interesting. Let's see if you try and change the game. How will Lee Bowyer react to this? But he didn't really need to, because, I mean, Charlton has kept dealing with it, really. I mean, in terms of chances, I can't think of anything really major for them. One that was tipped over the bar, other than that.
Yeah, I mean, because we were playing so narrow, the only way we were going to get through us was going out on the outside. And like I said earlier, I mean, they were kept, you know, trying to cut in and cross the ball, but then to a man, Paddy and Jason had answers for every single thing they threw at us, and I think they knew that they couldn't. There was no way that they'd be able to get through us, and it was just a dominant display. Which I think, I know some people might not agree, but I think that is probably the best centre half pairing for me in terms of they're just brutal, both of them.
Mm. I think it does depend on who we're up against.
I mean, I
think we caught Plymouth by surprise a little bit. They went one up top, and I don't think they were expecting us to do the same. Obviously, they've done their own work, but they did it when Carl was there, so I don't think they would have expected that formation. I think you're right, Nathan. Pearce and Bowyer dealt with it comfortably. It's the type of opponent they like, but strong physical presence. I did think we struggled, probably not the wrong word, but Carey was clearly their threat, and he's quick and clever on the ball, and any threat seemed to come through him. If they'd have gone with Carey and Taylor up top as a double, that may have caused us a few more problems, and maybe that's where Konsa comes in.
Yeah, because he's got the pace.
Because he's got the pace and the nous to be able to deal with the quick players. And judging from what we spoke to Lebo yesterday, I think he's the sort of seems to be the sort of manager that will change his side to deal with who we're playing.
Yeah,
and that's a refreshing change. You know, actually thinking about the opposition and saying, right, well, these guys, they play like this, we've got to nullify that, we've got to play like this. You know, this is their weakness, we've got to expose that type of thing. And so, if that's got the way we're going to play going forward, then it bodes well.
Mm, yeah, a couple of chances at the end for Zaira. Again, he had a left-footed one from just outside the area that, again, went just past the far post. And he was slipped in, actually, wasn't he? One-on-one and dragged a shot across the face of goal, which we heard in the highlights there. But that was, I mean, the game was already dead by then, and the full-time whistle goes, and it was lovely to see the covered end on its feet, applauding the team and the caretaker manager as they went off at the final whistle. And as you say, that feel-good factor is just threatening to return, and we don't really know what to do with it, but I think I'm going to go along with the ride because I quite enjoyed it. I mean, for all the emotion, as you say, Tell, wrapped up in the game yesterday and you know, of the takeover and all that, I mean, yesterday's result, I would say, we're right back in the playoff race now. And two, and you know, 3 days ago, I wouldn't have thought that was possible.
It is quite strange, isn't it? I mean, this league is just... I don't know if it's just a rubbish league. Well, it is, of course it is, but it's just a weird one. The fact that, you know, we haven't won in how many games and look out of it, and not just the losses, the performances as well, but three on the bounce. You think we've got to be out of this completely, and then we beat Plymouth, and then suddenly we're only what, 2 points off it with the game in hand, and suddenly we're back in it again. It's just quite bizarre.
Yeah, crazy. Right, so let's hear from you guys. If you want to have your say, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. There's a thread on the Charlton Live forum where people have started getting involved already. We want to know what you made of yesterday's performance, what you think of the upcoming potential takeover as well. And of course, I want to know what you make of this interview now, which is coming up, our exclusive interview with the caretaker manager, Lee Bowyer. He came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game, and he was on very good form.
Joined by Lee Bowyer, Charlton manager. First game in charge, Lee, and this managerial likes a piece of cake, isn't it?
I'd like to say yeah, but it's a bit too early. No, it's great result today. The lads were outstanding. I think from start to finish, you could see that there was a hunger about them. And yeah, you could tell before the game they was all focused and switched on. And thankfully they took in what we went through yesterday. And I think we deserved the win. And clean sheet, 3 points, and everyone's gone home happy.
It doesn't get much tougher coming up against a side that haven't lost in about 10 games and have only lost about 3 in 20s. So coming up against a Plymouth side, bang in form. Tough managerial start. So you had a lot to work on in a short space of time.
Yeah, it was only yesterday that we went through the shape. And I only told him yesterday how I wanted to play against Plymouth because I watched them Wednesday or Thursday. I watched Plymouth like on the tape. And on Wednesday, sorry. And then so I went into work on Thursday and I still didn't know what shape to play against them. If I'm honest, I didn't know whether to go just a flat 4-4-2. But I watched them, and then they dictated the game through their sitting midfielder and he just run the game. And I didn't want that happening here today, especially not in my first game at home. So I just thought, well, how can I counterbalance that from happening? And so I went with a diamond, and so then we stopped their sitting midfielder dictating the game, and then it reverses then because you've got Jake to run the game, who's an excellent passer on the ball. So that was my thinking behind going for that system today, and then obviously I had to rely on my fullbacks to be athletes and to get up and down to provide the width and crosses into the box.
Well, you must have been delighted with the start. Lewis Page, absolute credit to Lewis Page. He's been out for so long. He comes back and gets concussed in the first 10 minutes of his return game, and then it's an absolute worldie to get us off to the best start possible.
Yeah. Really pleased for him because, he's been out for a long time. It was some strike, wasn't it? Just dipped at the end, and I'm really pleased for him. I'm pleased for everybody, you know. Keeper made a great save at 1-0.
Yeah. And with that start and the perfect start that it was, it was important then to keep on top of what would have been a confident Plymouth side anyway. I thought we did that perfectly. I think we bossed that first half almost totally.
Yeah, and I think most of the second half, I think towards the end, then their left back was getting out a little bit and causing us a bit of a problem. And then Ben Reeves had to keep shuffling across, and who again worked his socks off like they all did, but. It's difficult when you're playing a diamond and you're on the left or the right of the diamond. You find yourself running out to the fullback a lot. I know because I've played it. I thought that was their only way they was going to hurt us, which I knew before the game because that was their outlet. And but yeah, so that's why I put Marshall on last 10 minutes, so he can stop that from happening.
That little comment there, does that give a hint of the Lee Bowyer style management in terms of your play, whatever formation might work against whatever team you're playing against?
Yeah, I don't think you can have just one formation to play every game, because teams are different. So, like, that was their strength today. I think if I would have just played a 4-4-2, flat 4-4-2, I think we'd have lost the game. I think they would have bossed it. And, well, might not have lost the game, but it wouldn't have been the same as that today. So we had to try and think, and I will, and I'll watch Northampton tonight, and then I will think, right, what way would be best to play against them to win the game? So it might be the diamond again, or it might be just a flat 4-4-2. I don't know, but I won't just have one way of playing, though.
And you'll have a bit of a selection headache with a bit of luck by the time that comes around. Of course, you had to, you put Fernie Dick still at right back, and outstanding performance by the young man.
Like I said, you could sit here and say that about every single player, but Anthony, to come in, who hasn't even been in and around it for a while now, to come in and step in and have a performance like that. But nobody doubts him. He's a machine, the kid. He's a machine. He's up and down, up and down, and his strength, he's good on the ball, he's got everything, you know. So yeah, to step in and do what he done today is outstanding. I'm proud of them all. They was all exceptional today.
Well, you said midweek that one thing that fans can expect from one of your sides is that nobody will leave anything on the pitch, and you can guarantee that every one of them will be feeling that game tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. They cut them cramp, so yeah, no, and I said I won't accept nothing less now. You've just shown everyone what you can do. I know they can do that. So now they've just shown it again, and I'm excited for next Friday. But I'm going to enjoy tonight's one first.
I've got to mention something that was driving me bonkers on commentary. The goalkeeper's handball outside the penalty area in the first few minutes. I know you were getting an explanation. I could see it in front of me. You were getting an explanation from a fourth official. Did it make any sense? Because
no,
I couldn't grasp
no.
it.
It didn't even explain it properly. It didn't even make sense what he was saying, so I just walked away in the end. So I couldn't tell you what he was... No. But surely if you... he said he wasn't a goal-scoring opportunity. I said, well, if you don't catch it, it is. Surely, like, because what's he going to do then? Then it's going to go over him, and then Michael was running in behind him. So Michael would have just tapped it into an empty net. But, yeah... Don't matter. No. It's done now.
No, absolutely.
It's not important.
I said the opening fairly glibly about this managerial lot being a doddle, but Lee Bowyer came here to help out basically in the season, and you've ended up with a manager's job. Is that something you've always wanted to do? Is this a job that you've been hankering after for a while?
No. To be honest, when I finished playing, I think I was out of the game for like 5 years. I needed to step away from the game completely, I think, because I was in it for so long, and I just had to come away from it. And then Harry Kew asked me to help him out at Watford. I think I was there for about 6 weeks just to help him out. And then I got a taste of it again, of like that winning, you know, like that in and around the football and winning. And then I got in contact with Carl just to come in part-time last year. I was only meant to be in 2 days a week, which I was doing just to work with the midfielders to try and encourage them to get in the box and score goals, which Jake was doing at the end of last season. And then and it just went from there, really. Richie Barker obviously left in the summer, and then I think Cole liked what I brought to the staff, and then that's why I got asked to be the assistant. And obviously now Cole's gone, and then I'm now their manager.
Is it too early to say that you've got a taste for it and that you'll be throwing your hat in the ring when the permanent position is discussed?
It's been one game. It's been one game. But can I do it? Yes, I obviously believe that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have accepted this role now. Do I want to do it? Let me see after the games that I'm in charge, and then I'll sit down and think about it then. But I know I can do it. I think I've just proved that today.
And the reception you felt like down here, Valley Legend, you know what the fans think about you. So, but to get that reception as a manager must have been a special buzz as well.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a fairy tale, isn't it? It was, obviously, I started here as a player, and then I was getting clapped off, and then now, obviously, as the manager. And so I'm really grateful to them and their support today. They was outstanding as well as the players. But I don't think some fans, they don't realise how important they are. And no matter what's happening in and around anywhere, then just support the lads, you know, and then you will get more out of them. As bad as that sounds, and it shouldn't be the case, I know, because I was a player, and then once they see my name, and then you get something from somewhere, especially when you're getting tired.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to thank them for their support today, and they was outstanding.
Well, if the players need any hint of what it might be like with a full house here, just the noise that the covering was making with the numbers that we got, be phenomenal with a full house as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got to say, I thought you'd be fighting Jason Pearce for the tunnel jump, mine, but maybe next time.
Okay. It's over the head of the Oxford defence, and Fosser will try and close it down, and Mussinho gets himself in a bit of trouble. It comes to McGuinness on the edge of the penalty. A good challenge from Mussinho. Cashy gets there first. Cashy in the penalty area. Cashy!
Oh, yes!
Emma Cashy!
What a finish!
His first goal of the season! Beats Eastwood, diving to his right side. Cashy's running around the valley. Absolutely delighted for him.
McGuinness has stayed down though from the challenge.
And John take the lead here at the valley.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. A superb interview there, exclusive here on Charlton Live with Lee Bowyer-Tell. That was an excellent interview. And in fact, Chris tweeted in saying it's nice to have a Charlton manager talking with a proper accent as well.
It was a relatively easy one, actually. I mean, I don't want that to sound glib, actually. I didn't mean it. But he's an easy guy to interview. I mean, he comes across a bit shy. And so you wonder if he'll open up. But he seemed to. I was saying to Nathan, well, you're both off air. It was nice to finish a sentence. Because normally I'd get halfway through it and Carl would do the rest.
Yeah.
And
then in the first
half of the season, basically you just asked half a question and then Carl would take over and you wouldn't have to do anything else. It got tougher towards the end because he didn't want to ask for anything. But yeah, that was a nice, refreshing change. I mean, it helps because we won, and there's a feel-good factor about the place. And so we'll see what happens when he's angry and he comes in. Eh?
Yeah. Mentioned there about how you can't just play one formation all the time. What was your exact quote? That's a dig.
Well, I think maybe not a dig, but it's certainly I think he wanted to make that point, don't you? Because obviously that was something that was aimed at Carl, that he was too rigid in his formation, the 4-1-2-7-5-3-8-6, whatever it was. And he said quite clearly, I'm not that type of bloke. I'm a type of manager who will play to whatever's in front of us, which is a nice, refreshing change.
Yeah. Now, Red and White 1905 actually tweeted yesterday saying, scenes today, Charlton storm home after a comfortable win and Charlton Live win their first cashy back bet. Mm. Nath, we are finally victorious.
Yes, at long last.
Does that make you in red or in blue now? I mean, are you actually in profit?
It's the lowest odds one we've had ever.
Oh, yeah, it's the lowest one. So I think
considering what you've put in.
I think the original returns off 250 was 21 quid, but then obviously we're matching it. So I think it's like 80 odd, 90 odd.
Yeah, yeah, we bet on a 2-0 win to Charlton, but because the win was only 15 quid, we're going to match it all of us on the big match preview team just to make it a bit worthwhile. So
well done,
I think about £85 or something like that is going to end up in the coffers. But we're delighted to finally won some money for the upbeats after our ridiculously bad choices throughout the season. Right, James Moynihan tweeted in, and you can do so as well if you want to have your say at Charlton Live or studio at charltonlive.co.uk if you want to do it by email. Charlton Live Forum as well, there's a thread on there. James Moynihan, great win today, absolutely buzzing, every single player worked their socks off and we played 4-4-2, it really worked today, feeling positive for the rest of the season. Lee Bowyer seems to be more versatile to change things up, they didn't know what to expect from us today. Sarah said, looking forward to not hearing Carl Robinson's voice tomorrow evening on Charlton Live. F. James said, a great evening, chaps. That was the business, and there's more to come. Deadwood out the way. I see similarities with Bo's first interview with Curbs, and the signs are good. I may be an old dog, but I know when I see a good thing, keep believing. And then he goes on, I believe we beat Newcastle at home. I think presumably referring to Curbs' first interview. History will tell you the rest. Excellent. So cheers for that, Ev. I mean, yeah, the fact that Lee Bowyer, I mean, James said it there. We talked about in his interview as well. They're a bit more able to change things up. Particularly, I mean, so I do think Carl had trouble changing things up during a game in particular.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely. I mean, it was and clearly obvious. It happened. Now, a lot of the times, you could put that down to injuries and the injuries that we were facing, but. You know, Lee Bowyer had not just injuries, he had absentees to deal with through the international break. I mean, arguably, two players who would have been first on the team sheet, normally, in Konsa and McGuinness. So to cope with that, it helped that we had Page back, obviously. But not frightened to try something and to put a formation in. I mean, it wasn't a flat 4-4-2, as you said. It was that sort of like diamond midfield to nullify their most threatening player is clever. And it's something that we don't seem to have done in the past. You know, we've allowed teams to just steamroller us in midfield over the last, not necessarily the beginning of the year because we were playing and we were on the front foot. But as soon as teams sussed us out, I suppose we struggled to adapt.
Mike Tyson says, tough ask for Charlton to make the playoffs, but yesterday's performance instilled belief in the team. Dick Steele was my man of the match, though everyone played their part. Great to see players playing for the shirt and giving. There all and after all the problems that Lewis Page has had, I was very pleased for him. Daniel says, so happy with the result. A proper Charlton manager playoffs. Here we come. John Agambar says, when I got to the ground yesterday, I sensed optimism. Boy, it felt strange. But good. Let's kick on. And then he's saying, talk about Lee Bowyer. He said, I bet he didn't moan about who was missing through injury or whatever. But I guess if we'd lost yesterday, he may have had
caught. Might have done, yeah.
Robert Waghorn says, so how do we see the official statement thanking Roland for his tenure at the club? I think it should be littered with wannabe brackets, like the ones in his one. And speaking as a plumber, must have a special mention for the undersole heating, but no flipping boiler. I mean, we're certainly going to come on to the potential of a takeover later on in the show. I mean, because that is huge, and that's, you know, coupled with the fact that we could still win the playoffs, could really be a good few weeks for the club there. Roger Charles said, I see Cag scored again. Also, Crawley's defensive errors that cost goals that they conceded. Oh my God, if Kuehl comes to us. I mean, all right, I say we'll talk about the takeover soon, but I mean, because Roger's brought it up there. Harry Kuehl as a manager, very much unproven. Terry, if that is the case, your views on it?
It's an unknown for me. I mean, I think from a personal point of view, and some will see this as a little bit starry-eyed and a little bit too Charlton-biased, but I think we've got proper Charlton people in charge at the moment with Jackson and Bowyer. Now, they may not end up being the best managerial partnership ever, and it may fail, but I'd like to, at least in the short term, just go back to being Charlton, if that makes any sense, but the Charlton that we've known before. If we bring in Harry Kuehl, it's another experiment. Another experiment from owners who are trying their way and bringing in, you know, if it's to believe. And I'm not entirely sure it's true, by the way. There's part of me that thinks people are just adding two and two because, you know, the new people taking over are supposed to be Australian. Kuehl's an Australian manager. Right, it's got to be. I'm still not 100% on that personally, but it might happen. And I think if it does, I'm just... Look, of course, if he comes in, we'll give him 100% support and hope he does superbly. It may be that he's a good manager in charge of a not so good side at the moment, and he comes into us. If he comes into us, he's got better players to deal with. He's got a keg scoring, which is you know, which is no problem. But personally, I'd like to see Boyer and Johnny Jackson giving it at least to the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see Boyer giving it to the end of the season, because I've got him at 16-1 as a permanent travel manager, and if he concludes 10 games, then that is my money in the bag, £85.
I reckon they'll get someone new in after the ninth game.
Yeah.
Just to wind you up.
I will never watch Charlton again. Jimmy Seed says, best performance over 90 minutes that I've seen from Charlton. Key changes worked well. Dick Steele, Zyra and Page were excellent and have earned the right to keep their places, in my humble opinion. 16-1 on promotion looks good value at the moment. I mean, 16-1 fair odds for our promotion, Nath?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You're the betting man, come on.
But it's decent odds, but do I think it's going to happen? I mean, yeah, it's one game. If we can keep it up, then obviously by all means, but I think the big game is going to be on Monday. And obviously Friday and Monday, I think if we get 6 points after Monday, then I might start thinking, yeah, we're going to do this. But at the moment, I'm still quite reserved. I'm riding the wave at the moment, like everyone else, but I'm not getting... I'm just trying to keep
the
level.
Our running is tough, by the way. It is tough. We're playing... Pretty much every team has got is involved in one thing or another, either in the playoffs, promotion or relegation. So. Yeah. Every team that we're up against has got something to play for, and I think is it five games are against playoff or promotion contenders, which is you know, but you know, we did that yesterday and won, so there's no reason we can't go to everywhere other and do the same with players returning from injury. I think, you know, if we can get through this bank holiday weekend coming up now, two games, one away, one home. If we can come back with 4 points out of those two games, then I think there's a distinct possibility we could still go on a run. If we win both, even more so. If we lose both, or even draw both, not so sure.
It would be very interesting to see how the long weekend goes. Like Tim Jackson said, a word for Ben Reeves yesterday. Yes, he wasted a few chances going forward, but defensively he won everything in midfield. His first instinct was always to go forward. Best I've seen him play in a Charlton shirt. Absolutely fantastic. He was every. I definitely agree that I think it's his best performance for us. Yep. He's put in a couple. I think Blackburn away, remember him playing well. But other than that, he's been fairly run of the mill.
I think that's the key. I think it's been a couple away from home, to a three maybe. But as I said, they've been away from home, so most people wouldn't have seen him. So this is clearly his best performance at home in a Charlton shirt, no question. And arguably his best performance generally. And he's right. I thought he had a great game. As did they all, to be honest. You might find different people picking their different man of the matches, and it's hard to argue with anybody.
Yeah,
because everybody put a shift in yesterday.
James Court says, no spin, no talking cobblers. 4-4-2, simple game made complicated by idiots. Life after Robinson is so much better. Well done to Bo. Sarah, I was asking what people would hope for from a new owner, and you can get involved with that as well at Charlton Live. But Sarah said, what I hope for from a new owner is that they make Bowyer the permanent manager. I mean, 100% win record so far. I mean, he's infallible at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. Has he got his pro licence? I don't know if he has.
That seems to be the word going around the Premier League. Yeah,
he's been quite new because he was into his fishing in France, wasn't he? So I don't know if he's got all of his badges. So I don't think you're allowed to.
So fishing licence don't count then?
Yeah. But he might do. It's probably more than what Carol Fry had. But, I'm enjoying Bo's being manager at the moment, which I've obviously made perfectly clear on Twitter. I can't see it being permanent, but if he is and he has got his badges, then obviously...
Is there a rule that gives you time to... If you're drafted in as a caretaker, is there some sort of caveat that you can have time to obtain it?
I think so.
You're all right to the end of the season, but then before next season, you've got
to... Yeah, I have to admit, I don't know the answer to that. It'll be interesting to find out. Right, Mick Brazil, when I asked him what he's hoping for from new owner, says, I don't need cushions and gimmicks. I don't even need nice beer or pies. I just want a team set up to win by honest, hard work. Football people who care... who I can cheer on with family and friends. Bring on the real fan experience. And I think that chimes with me, that does.
I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with the not having the nice beer.
All pies.
All pies, yeah.
But yeah, the football team. Ray Bates, in answer to the question, what do you hope for from new owners, says, can I think about that once my hangover has gone? Right, Charlton Exile says, I bet he's in a good mood, actually.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Yeah, great atmosphere around the place yesterday. Suddenly we're reminded of what we have been missing for so long. Right, Tom Wallin, I said, what do you think sparked that performance from yesterday? And he said, probably spurred on by Ulverstad's recent cup win for Burnley under 23.
Oh, yeah, he's playing for the Dog and Duck now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Dog and Duck Football Club.
Yeah, the one that dazzled him.
Bat and trap, is he?
Right, Alex Rogans was at the game yesterday, and I have to say the atmosphere felt very different from previous games. The team were outstanding to a man, and it feels like there is a real belief that we may be able to make the playoffs. Refreshing sense of optimism in the air, and he signs it off Lee Boyar, which is how most people were leaving the ground yesterday, which was good to see. Right, Red and White's 1905 says, good day, chaps. So I'm glad he's enjoying the show. Marin says, listening to yesterday's game highlights for Charlton Live, and she's hoping for more positive times ahead. Will Bolland saying, simply keep the faith as in our race for the playoffs. Right, Sebo says, very professional performance, very professional seeing the game out. Did so by dominating the midfield area as well as the defensive third. Only their keeper denied us a free drink. Oh, because, yeah, we needed one more goal to get our free beer, didn't we, in the crossbars.
About that.
Yeah, had to
pay. I'm depressed now.
We've only done it once, haven't we? Walsall.
Charlton Exile said that he didn't seem too keen on the tunnel jump. Talking about Lebo. I think he just didn't seem too keen on doing it first time, I guess. I mean, because you said you was hoping he was going to fight Jason Pearce for it.
It was a tongue-in-cheek comment, actually.
Yeah. Well, Red Chaser said on the forum, you sure, Terry, Boyer fighting Jason Pearce for the tunnel jump. I wouldn't want to upset either of them.
No, exactly right.
A couple more comments from him, which we'll come to in a minute. Sebo says, the first game for as Charlton gaffer for Chris Powell was a 2-0 win over Plymouth Argyle as well. Could that be a good omen for Bowes, as his first game as gaffer was the same result against the same team?
I knew it was Plymouth and we beat him. I didn't realise it was 2-0 as well. Yeah. Wow.
That's where we've done the Charlton, like the cashback.
Yeah, that's why we did it. Yeah, that's won us. Well,
it's all falling into place.
Yeah, £15. Yeah. Graham Banks said, I'd like to see Boyer given a chance until the end of the season, but I'm worried that he may not get the chance if we do get taken over, as he could easily be our Neil Harris. Need to keep momentum going, as well as a defeat from Friday would wipe out yesterday's performance. I mean, particularly coming up, so we've got Northampton coming up on Friday. I think they got beat at home, or I don't know if it was at home, but they got beat definitely by Fleetwood Town yesterday.
It was at Fleetwood, yeah.
Yeah, but they're in all sorts of trouble, Northampton, now. So, I mean,
they're in the bottom four.
Yeah, it's a chance. It is a chance to.
Doesn't mean anything when Charlton come calling normally.
Is Hasselbank still there? Is that their manager?
So,
I'd like to get a big chair for him, wouldn't you? Get that thing in there.
Yeah.
Wider doors.
Yeah. Right. Nicholas Riley says CAG scoring goals is in Division Four. Unfortunately, that is his level. We did get one in the league for us. I mean, most of his goals this season for us came in cup competitions. But yeah, start.
I accept that. No, I think the only thing I'd say about that is that remember what Colin Hearn Grant was like when he first burst on the scene for us. How many seasons ago now, by the way? Four? Five?
Yeah, it would be four, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he was...
Well, he was 12, wasn't he?
He had the same impact that Ademola Lookman had when he first came in. Maybe not quite for a sustained period. And then he should have been rested, as Ademola was on regular occasions, and he wasn't. He was thrown at the deep end and kept there, and it completely ruined him. So if we can get that player back, then he'll do a job in this league, and I'd even say the league above in the Championship as well. But he's got to go back to that to the player he was then.
Mm. Right, Chris also copied us into a report from the Plymouth Herald. We heard from Chris Errington during the week from the Plymouth Herald on Thursday's show. He said that Charlton's Boyer outwitted Argyle's Adams with a tactical masterclass, which is obviously probably the way you'd love to see your first game described by a journalist from the other team as well, because obviously they're not going to be bigging you up like I would. I'm not that unbiased. James Moyard said, one side usually goes on a run into the playoffs, why can't it be us? Very much the courtesy a Premier League team would normally win the FA Cup, why can't it be us, perhaps? Yep.
Well, yeah, he's done it before.
Got to be someone. I mean, like I say, I never would have said that 3 days ago. Before,
well, no, that's true.
Before
well, that no. 3 weeks ago, even.
Yeah, I could have given you a whole long list of reasons why it couldn't be us before then. Right, Jim Davison. Good evening, Jim. Says we moved like a football team when I asked him what sparked Charlton into life yesterday. Thanks for your tweet, Jim. Valley Floyd, Fred confirms that Jimmy Floyd Hasbank is still the manager of Northampton Town. So, former Charlton former Charlton player to see on Friday. Good
yep,
Friday.
Big booty.
Right. On that note, let's go to a quick break. I didn't know you'd been looking, Nath. Right, let's have a quick break here.
Hard not to, to be fair.
When we come back, we've still got plenty of emails and forum comments. We're also going to hear from the Charlton Athletic Women's Team Manager, Ritesh Mishra, after today's FA Cup quarter-final with Arsenal. And don't forget, the takeovers are coming, lads. We've got to talk about it.
Great work from Tariq Fosu. And now it's Forster Kaski over here on this near side to take the corner. Swings it in. It's gone deep. Bowers at the far post. Gets ahead of there. Oh, it's in! Patrick Bauer heads the ball down.
Come on!
Beyond Ian Lawler and into the back of the net for Charlton's opener.
Oh, I can't believe that went in, Terry Smith. The ball came in for Forster Kaski at the back post. Bauer's able to beat his man. He just heads it down on the ground almost.
I've not got a couple of other cats. I'd be kicking it all over my house tonight.
Probably is, actually, after the 3-0 defeat down at Portsmouth for Carl Robinson. Poor old Carl.
There are cats in the Oxford area running for their lives.
Yeah. let's crack on to the forum comments from earlier on today. Mendonca and Asda said good win yesterday for Lee Boya and the boys, but it's only one win. Let's not get carried away. Then he says only six more wins needed for the playoffs, and it's Wembley. Here we come. Simples.
Listen, I think we deserve to get carried away because
it's a bad week.
Clutching at straws, it should be an Olympic event, and we'd be good at it, wouldn't we? Because after the 4 years we've had, come on.
I love getting carried away. Right, Rudders 22 says, can you play Carl Robinson's interview with Sky today after the Oxford game? Especially as he stated that Oxford dominated from start to finish and they had the most chances. So I will give him sympathy in that they started to look better the side before the penalty. However, they're already 1-0 down. Thank God he is gone. He talks jack. Then he goes on to yesterday's game. So once Robinson had gone by Thursday with news that a takeover was happening, I had itchy feet about going on Saturday. And it's out of I had an alcoholic session on Friday night after work. And as I woke up on Saturday morning at 11:45 with no hangover, I decided I will go. It was a great last-minute decision. I thought I would see a team playing well, brackets Plymouth, playing my team, Charlton, with an outside chance of playoffs. New era with Boya and Jacko in charge. I expected nothing. How surprised I was to see a different Charlton performance, which must have taken Plymouth by surprise as well, and coming home with 3 points. I feel like with the takeover happening, different tactics, hungry and hard-working players back, we have got our old Charlton back. I'm not even that bothered if we don't make the playoffs. I've got the champagne on ice for the takeover announcement. It would be a Brucey bonus if we managed to get into the playoffs and actually won them. I mean, so much of this feel-good factor does come from the fact that we're being told now in takeovers, you know, hours away.
Dare we say imminent? No, imminent. I don't think we should. you know, we got to the point now, I certainly have, where I'm not taking anything as read particularly. Just till it happens. I don't care where it's on. It can come from anywhere as long as it's guaranteed. So whether that be Monday, I don't want it to be Monday because I'm actually in Belgium next week, so I want it to be Thursday, please, because then I can come back and celebrate at the Valley properly. That's my official request.
Because you're in Belgium, aren't you? Are you
I'm actually at the place where the home of the people that are letting us go.
Yeah.
So as poignant as that might be, I'd still rather be at the Valley when it happens.
So it's not dinner with Roland then?
No, probably not. I think I'll pass. A carrot again.
Phil says, hi guys, I went to the game yesterday to have my PSA checked. Would not have gone otherwise. Glad I did. It's the best game I've seen this season. They played to a plan, played with passion, and they also entertained. Well done, Bo. 9 games to go, I believe. Again, that's from Phil in Eltham. It's just good to see. Like, we mentioned the PSA testing, the prostate cancer bike rides coming up in the summer. Yesterday was prostate cancer, the special day here at the Valley. Team Addicts, who were doing the bike ride, were out and about collecting money. They had a photo on the side of the pitch as well.
And gotta say, I was expecting to see you on one of them static bicycles outside. Didn't happen.
No, I'm a working man, so I've got to earn my crust on a match day, unfortunately.
So I'm a little bit concerned that you know, 10 yards into the bike ride, you're going to fall over.
Well, I can't ride a bike. I haven't told anyone.
Yeah, you got stabilisers.
He's got a tricycle. What's that really? Just that one wheel, you know, really tall one. Yeah. What's that
and
called?
And the unicycle.
That's it. Yeah.
If you can't ride a bike, there's no way he's getting one of them, is it?
I'll be fine. My training is.
I think we should do that. I think we should get Charlton Live stabilisers.
We had Carl Leeburn on BBC London Sport to talk about the event yesterday as well, and it garnered a lot of good publicity for the club, and more importantly for the Prostate Cancer UK charity and money as well. So well done to everyone.
Joking aside, you're doing an amazing thing, mate. Yeah.
Well, I'll say that at the end. Right, John from Norfolk says, I see that Lee Bowyer was wearing one of Phil Parkinson's jumpers yesterday. it's a winning formula, as we've seen.
Almost suited and booted.
Yeah,
not quite
right. I never thought I'd see the day, but Chris Davin has sent an email with the subject line, happy.
Oh my God.
So refreshing to see a proper Charlton team produce a proper Charlton performance. Under Robinson, we would have lost. A Jose looked reborn, even Reeves tackled. What a shame we wasted all that time on all mouth and no substance, Robinson. Positivity abounds. Playoffs, once again, are a possibility, and you can't deny that whatsoever. I mean, I've seen a couple of people saying we would have been different, lost, not performed as well against Plymouth yesterday had it been under Robinson. I mean,
well, you would have guessed that we'd have gone with the one up top against Plymouth, which means we would have gone with without that sort of holding midfield, well, without the sort of diamond formation in the middle that would have nullified their midfielder that's their playmaker. And if that was the case, then their midfield would have dominated and it could have been a different result. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's guesswork, isn't it? But I can see where people are coming from. If we had not played the formation we played yesterday, as Lee Bowyer hinted, the result probably wouldn't have been the same because they'd have been able to dominate more.
Yeah, I think Marshall might have started instead of a Jose, and you would have had the 4-2-3-1 cancelling each other out, and we wouldn't have had many shots. So, I don't think we would have had a performance like that if we did have Robbo.
Right, Daniel Farmer, good evening, Dan. Hope you were. Says, well, that was a beautiful game where you get a good couple of chances in the first half and take them. For every player stood up yesterday and gave it their all. Jose, Zyro always offering a ball out. Zyro held the line so well. Paige not been his biggest fan, but hold my hands up, he proved me wrong. Thought he had a magnificent game. Bowyer looked like he had been doing this manager lark for ages. Don't sit down. Didn't sit down once. Always shouting orders. Top man, that bloke. Was the dream dead for me? Yes, but football always surprises you. That's why we love this game. The dream is alive. Keep believing. Lee Bowyer, take over tomorrow as well. So I believe. I mean, Dan's right there talking about how there's always so many surprises because everyone was ready to write us off. And I think, as I sort of said earlier, like in particular, the performances of the last few weeks where Carl knew he was leaving really rubbed off on us. And so yesterday, I think in a way, whereas, you know, him leaving has helped us because his demeanour over the last few weeks when he wanted out was holding us back.
We needed fresh impetus from anywhere, from somehow, from something. Excuse me. And we got that because Carl Robinson left. Now, if we'd have got it, I'll take it you're looking at Garmy Hedgechester. Had we got it in other means, either by new ownership or injured players coming back and a change of formation and fortune on the pitch, however it came, we needed fresh impetus after the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. And we got it yesterday with the fact that Carl Robinson has left and Lee Bowyer's in charge and put his own stamp on things.
Right, Tim Ruffle tweeted in saying, I'll talk about the takeover, saying, let's hope so. Let's hope that they invest in the squad, don't sell promising players cheaply and employ managers who have a clue. Nicholas Riley, so if De Silva and Cons are both available again next week, do they come straight in for Page and Dixdale? Now, there's chin stroker for you, Nath.
I wouldn't. I don't think you should. With a performance like that, I think you'd be very, very harsh to drop anyone.
It's got to be the same side for me as well.
I think Jay's obviously been amazing, but you can't give Paige that carrot, let her takes it, and then go, no, I saw you on the bench.
Notwithstanding the fact that Lebo's already said he'll examine Northampton, see how to play against them, and it might need a different setup. And therefore, different players. Who knows?
Yeah, so it might be that he might bring in Josh for the Jose if he wants to go with two big ones or whatever. I don't know, but I think if we could play a similar way and that would work against Northampton, I wouldn't change it. No.
Right, Tom Sperling says Charlton are back. That's the subject line of his email. So, hello all. So, the takeover is all but done, according to some of the In the Know More. But Monday could be the day. It might just work out great with the feel-good Thatcher pushing us into the playoffs. I've optimistically booked tomorrow off, and we'll be on the beer at 12 o'clock in anticipation of the good news. Well, that'd be horrible if it don't happen tomorrow night. Happens on Tuesday. stuff all this adult responsibility and grown-up rubbish. Fair point. Boyer is taking us to Wembley, and I can't wait. But if it all turns out to be nonsense again, the missus will be bending my ear for wasting more holiday. Just sell the club, you old plonker. That's from Tom Sperling. Cheers for your email there. Charlie emails in Carl Robinson's tactical pamphlet. See, Oxford lined up 4-2-3-1 and lost 3-0. Good luck, Carl. I didn't watch the game because I was coming back from the women's game. So if that was the case, then all right. Mark Newbury says, evening chaps, from 1 to 11, we absolutely smashed it. Even my least favourite current addict, Mr. Reeves, had a really good game. Yes, you can see me doing the silly dance behind the goal when they both go in. The first, a corker of the top order. Was page 3 in it, top shelf. And the second, a difficult header slammed in at 90 degrees to the cross. A back four all on the same page, a midfield working like Trojans, and a front two who didn't let their defender get one moment's rest. Feel sorry for a Jose who deserved a goal for his work alone. The way Aribo can move the ball from foot to foot and pick a pass, and even when Dick still makes a mistake, he gets the ball back and is always looking across to the centre halves to make sure he's in line. I could pick good things out for all the players, and it's hard to give a man of the match, but tight between Aribo and Jake Forster-Kaski for me. Now, do Big Mac and Konza go straight back in? For me, no. You just give it the winning team the credit and they keep the shirt. Fingers crossed for tomorrow to bring some even better news. I mean, yeah, so obviously McGuinness is the other one. We talked about it sort of earlier, whether he'd go straight back in as well, I guess.
You'd have to say no, generally speaking, wouldn't you? Again, as Nath said, unless there's a case for playing two big guys up front, depending on what Northampton play like, you'd be tempted. You'd have to keep the same side, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Unless there's any injuries coming out of yesterday.
Yeah. Right, James Moyard emailed there. Evening, lads. I'm still buzzing from yesterday. Lee Bowyer seems to talk a lot of sense. I've been impressed with his two press conferences. I'd give him until the end of the season for sure. And if we make the playoffs, then I'd say he deserves the job full time. With him and Jacko on the sidelines, it feels like we're getting our Charlton back. Doesn't seem Bowyer is going to talk rubbish like Robbo did. He'll say it how it is. I like that. The proof of this will be if we get beat, though. That's a great, he says, great show as always. Thanks for that, James. And that's very much like, you know, we're all up and bouncing after yesterday's result, but you got to wait till we lose a game, and then we see how, you know, how the reaction is to that. You know, it's I think it's a lot easier to do when you're doing well, press conferences in particular.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, I mean, if we're going to be realistic, if we come out this dream world that we're all in, that we're going to lose a game this season with Bowes there. And it, like you say, it's the character that we get, and it's going to test Bowes' mettle of how he picks people up, make sure we try. And so, like you said in his interview, they've set the standard now. So they've set a level that we know what we can expect now. So, and if it goes below that, then yeah, I mean, and that's the challenge for the guys now. But we've given ourselves a fighting chance, and like Tel said earlier, it's in our hands. So, but yeah, we've got... We'll enjoy the moments because we've had plenty of negative ones. But yeah, we will hit a stumbling block along the way, no doubt.
It is a very Charlton response to having a good game or to playing well for even a sustained period of time, is that we end up going, oh yeah, but what, you know, let's wait and see if we lose. Let's see what happens when we lose. And I get it, and because I'm the same, but it is a very Charlton response, isn't it, to us doing well. Is that, well, hold on, wait and see what happens when we lose.
We're like
the Eeyore character out of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, if we did what Leicester did and win the Premier League, yeah, but how are we going to react to this?
Exactly, yeah.
Are we going to win the first game next season? Yeah. Cold down Stoke, no. So let's not celebrate it then.
Right, Mick Canty says, hi Louis and Terry, the game yesterday was a refreshing experience compared to the rubbish we have watched all season. The system, formation, interaction, application, I could go on, everything was in place and provided an entertaining match. If I'd got to my car after the game and it'd been sideswiped by a bus, I still would have been smiling. Perfect strike partnership, the combination of Dixdale and Aribo, the solid defence, superb play from midfielders Jake Forster-Kaski with Reeves, and the unbelievable goal from Lewis Page. It all seemed too good to be true. I feel if Robinson was in charge yesterday, McGuinness would have been on his own reading a book for the first 20 minutes. Konza would be demanding the ball repeatedly be passed back to Amos. Complete negative, disappointing football from the usual uninspired team. Lee Bowyer got it right right players in the right position. All credit to him and Jackson. This wasn't a team trying to impress a new manager. It was Boya being tactically brilliant. I'm still buzzing, and that's regards from Mick Canty. I mean, see, a lot of people picking up on Bo's tactics yesterday, because obviously there was this change that we haven't seen yet, and it did work. I mean, that's the main thing. It worked, and it worked straight away.
He said in that interview, that's why I didn't want to preempt it. I wanted to let people hear it. You know, I'm not. He said, I'm not that type. You know, that's not me. I will adapt to whatever I think is best to win the game. And that's what he did yesterday. He said up until, was it Thursday, he still wasn't sure whether he'd play a flat 4-4-2 or how he was going to play. But then decided, having watched Plymouth play, that that midfielder, the holding midfielder, ran the game, and he wanted to make sure that didn't happen. You know, that just bodes well. Now, you know, in the true Charlton response, as I've just mentioned, you know, let's see what happens when he comes up against somebody who's equally tactically nous, and they battle it out together, changing things as it goes. It'd be very interesting. But, you know, I'm not going to say let's not get carried away, because of course we've got to get carried away. We have very little opportunity to get carried away in recent years. Yeah. Let's fill our boots.
Because the one point you say, you mentioned yesterday about how would it happen against a manager that would try and change up. So early in that second half, Derek Adams made a double sub for Plymouth. So I did think, right, what's he trying now? What's he going to change? And how's that going to change the game?
They matched up with us, didn't they?
Yeah, but it didn't happen. No. It didn't work for them.
They tried to copy us.
Yeah, which was good to see. Right, Stephen Taylor emails in saying, glad that Carl Robinson has gone, as I won't have to hear or read Mike Tyson's persistent moaning anymore. Mike Tyson, London Geezer, often tweets in, not a huge fan of Carl Robinson. He wasn't. He'll be glad that he's gone, I imagine, Mikey Tyson. Right, let's have a quick break. Still to come on tonight's show, we need to talk about the impending takeover, what it could mean for the club. And also, after the break, we want to hear from Ritesh Mishra. He's the women's team manager. They played Arsenal away in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Lost 5-0, but they certainly didn't disgrace themselves. So we're going to hear from him shortly after the break as well.
Cassie sees, but Ormer Kovicilani, he's gone for it, you know.
Oh, what a goal!
What a goal by Ormer Kovicilani!
Oh!
That's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right footed. Well, he saw Ulrich off his line. What a goal.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Don't forget, tomorrow evening we're going to be back on Love Sport Radio, lovesportradio.com, London DAB or 557 on the medium wave in the London area. It's going to be me and Tom tomorrow from 9 o'clock on Love Sport Radio with Alex as well, he'll be hosting. But don't forget, it's a phone-in show. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, but it could be a very interesting show, and I dare say you might want to get on the blower and have a chat about what happens during the day, if indeed something happens during the day. If not, you might want to just get on the chat and talk about how great the game was on Saturday, or your views on who the new manager should be, whether Lee Bowyer should keep his spot or what. So don't forget, lovesportradio.com tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. It's Charlton Live representing on the Charlton Fan Show. Right, today, this afternoon, me and Nath, we trekked up to Boreham Wood to watch the Charlton Athletic women's team. The FA Cup quarterfinal had done so well to get this far in the competition. The lowest ranked team left in the competition. They were playing Arsenal now, one of Europe's elite teams. This is one of the big guns in women's football. In the end, the opening goal came after about 3 or 4 minutes. It was a sloppy challenge from a Charlton player to give away a penalty. But then for the rest of the first half, they kept an arm's length. And they really excelled. You know, obviously they're going to have to go a bit defensive when they're playing one of the best teams in Europe. A full-time professional team, whereas we're only part-time athletes as well. So fitness came into play in the second half when they scored. I mean, they added a couple goals late on, which really added a bit of gloss to the scoreline, which overall I don't think Charlton really deserved that. But, I mean, we'll hear from Ritesh in a second, Nathan. But what did you make of the game, the performance, and, of course, meeting Gunnosaurus?
Yeah, you've sort of said everything that you've said. I mean, you've got some players in there, you know, one of the I can't remember, it was a Vivian Medemia or something. The one
yeah,
scored
the one who came in for Arsenal.
Yeah, she's touted one of the best players in the world, so, and you could tell she's only in for about 20 seconds and scored. But yeah, it was. Listen, they're a very, very good outfit, but that to me, the amount of effort that the girls put in from start to finish, like they were on their, you know, they could hardly stand up at the end. And you know, I spoke to, well, texted Charlotte after the game, Charlotte Gurr, and just said, listen, they're top of the league at the moment, and they've done incredible to get where they are. And they were, it was really, you know, they've done the club proud today, and they gave it all they got, and it was just that step too far.
Right, well, let's have a hear to what Ratish had to say. And I asked him if, it was absolutely no disgrace from his team today.
People come in to watch the game today, I think we're probably expecting more. If you're involved in women's football as a fan, as a player, they would have expected Arsenal, one of the best teams in Europe, not just our country, to probably score much more than that. Last season they beat Spurs, who won our league 10-0. So for us to keep the score, I know five does sound like quite a lot, but you know, it was one up to half time, and then the second half we got really tired legs, tired body, tired mind, so they started to pick us off with their extra bit of quality. But I don't think that takes away from our performance. We knew that very unlikely we were going to win the game, and I hoped we could give a good representation of our league and our club, and we've done that today.
And particularly in that first half, I mean, other than the early penalty, you sort of didn't give Arsenal many chances at all.
No, they did struggle to break us down, and I think that's credit to players doing what we asked them to do, that our staff in how we set them up. It's unusual that we are the team that concede space and block shots and are disciplined without the ball. Today we had to do that. If we came out to play, I think we would have got popped, because they are very athletic, they're good technically. So we knew that. We knew the jobs on hand. In the first half, bar the penalty, there wasn't too much in it really. They had the ball, of course, but they didn't create much. Like I say, second half, got tired. Had to make a few changes. They're a little bit more clinical, and you know, that's kind of expected from their talent.
I guess the way you set up, like saying, particularly in that first half, the defensive stuff, you know, it's not the way you usually play. So it's something you've had to get into your team to show a different side to their game today.
Yeah, but normally we're a team that has much more of the ball. We didn't have much of the ball today, so we asked our, you know, got some good technical players. We asked them to do a job today defensively. They did that. But I think it's good for our players, for them to experience a different way of playing. The higher level that we go and they go, we're going to have to do that more often. But we've shown today that if we, you know, we kept Arsenal out for long periods of the game, we could do that at this level. We should be able to do that for, you know, the teams that we're playing against now. So we can't get too disheartened. We've got massive 2 months ahead of us. Told the players if they show the same level of work, application, effort, we should be okay this season.
And what can they take from today into the rest of the season as they go on to try and win their league?
They can take the fact that when we put things into practice, it works for large periods of the game. They can see that actually the golfing class between the two is probably smaller than they think. A lot of it is down to physical level of fitness. But I think the big thing is they can take a lot of pride out of today and the season so far. I do want everyone who came to watch and those who didn't to know that although it was 5-0, our players put a hell of a shift in today. They made the club so proud. I'm really proud of them. You know, and I couldn't ask for a group of players and staff to work for me better than today. And I hope that everybody gets that message that, you know, we've done the club proud today. I want to thank them for that. And like I say, we take this into now the next 2 months and we should be okay.
Finally, of course, kick Graham through the 200 games mark for Charlton now, and worked tirelessly up on her own, won a couple of corners.
Yeah.
But what a special player she is for this club.
Yes, she is. You use the word special today. Technically, she doesn't look a different level to Arsenal. I think, you know, physically, of course, because she's not a full-time athlete, that's where the big difference is. But you know, we're proud of her. She knows that. Today was about the team, but you know, a very special moment. 200 games and nearly 200 goals to go with it. So that conversion rate is astonishing at any level. So we're proud of her. We need her firing for the rest of the season to try and take us where we want to go. And you know, you're right. She's a special player. But we've got to kind of keep her grounded, keep her head down, knuckle down for the next 2 months, because that's when we need her.
Tez Ratish there speaking to myself after today's defeat up at Borehamwood against Arsenal. But like we say, no, absolutely no disgrace to lose to one of the best teams in Europe. And in fact, quite impressive to keep them at bay as they did in that first half in particular. Well done to Kit Graham on her 200th game, 183 goals, I think it is, she's got in that time, which, as Ratish said there, is just unbelievable.
Incredible, that.
An incredible strike rate. So well done to the ladies. They've still got a very good chance of winning their league and getting promoted into the Championship, the New Look Championship.
Yeah, they won't have to rely on the lottery of being selected, exactly, if they can actually win it.
So. Yeah, so if they can do it organically, I think that's probably their best chance as well. But it sounds like a couple of big clubs have chucked
Man
in.
Man United and Southampton have just thrown their hat in. Yeah.
So let's see how that goes. I think absolutely everything costs for the Charlton Women's team that they are playing in the Championship. Next season, I think they've got at least one or two cup finals still to come this season as well. So hopefully they'll have some silverware at the end of the year. Right, Sarah said we wouldn't have had the same result yesterday if Carl was here, not just because of the formation, but because Carl had lost the dressing room. Freddie said we need to keep that team the same. We need consistency, confidence, and momentum. Chopping and changing for no reason doesn't do that. Roger said, Robinson said in his post-match interview that Oxford played a diamond. Wonder where he got that idea from. and James said, I want to see how Boya reacts after a loss and how we bounce back. So that's sort of what we were saying earlier. Right, now Freddie's asked for some thoughts. So let's have a look at this takeover that's coming up now. Now, we talked about the likelihood of Harry Kewell coming in as manager. That seems to be the noises that are being made in the local media and the national media. But Freddie's put forward this idea. How about after the takeover, manager Lee Bowyer, assistant Johnny Jackson, director of football Alan Kirvishley, he was spotted here yesterday, and chairman Paul Elliott. I mean, it sounds like a dream team he's building there.
Absolutely. I can't argue with any of that. Mm. Keith Peacock's got to be in there somewhere, surely.
Yeah, well, he's
special advisor or something.
Exactly. Right, so I mean, like, takeover. We could be counting down the seconds to the Roland du Châtelet no longer owning this football club. Now, it's 4 years has not exactly flown by, but it's been 4 years since he's been here, and it's been the most, you know, for supporters of our age, no disrespect, Tell, of mine and Nathan's, we haven't seen times as bad as this. We're used to champagne football in the Premier League. We're spoiled, but obviously, I mean, the club's been through tough times before. I mean, where does this rank in your experience, in your vast experience, Tell?
Yeah, being old, yeah. It's up there, no question about it. No, and I think that there are stark similarities between this time and previous. I mean, I guess the previous worst was the time just before and then during the having to leave the ground, having the gates locked, and you think you're going out of business. And I think the story is only 30 seconds away from actually closing down as a club. So there are theoretically worse times, but as you quite rightly say, you know, there are people who don't know anything about that, and so as far as they're concerned, this is the worst time, and they're right, because it is for them. I think both periods have similarities, and this one, I think, if this was to continue along the same lines and there wasn't to be an end in sight, then it would certainly progress to being the worst period ever, I think, because there is only one way we're going to go currently. If it doesn't change, and that's to oblivion probably, because we're already almost there, and you just get the feeling that that loss of interest completely in what we do, and so if nobody came in to buy us, it'd just left to ruin, wouldn't it? It'd just disappear.
So what are we hoping for then? If, say, that the takeover is confirmed tomorrow, we find more out about the identity of the consortium person, whoever it is that is taking us over, Nath. I mean, what do you hope that they can do? I mean, we talked about short-term gains on Thursday. But in terms of long-term, what do you hope that their vision for the club would be? And in what way would that differ from what Roland du Châtelet's supposed vision for the club would have been?
Probably a realistic plan. Try and to get the engagement up at where it used to be, so everyone seemed to have a sense of they were involved with the club, so to speak, and then just I just think a nice stabilised period where everyone knows where we're going and what our aims are and stuff like that. I just think it'd just be nice, because the last 4 years we just don't really know, because I mean they came in and said it was 5 years to the Premiership, and that's turned out well, isn't it? So I mean, sometimes when new owners come in, they go, oh, there's plans, this, but if you have a realistic plan and just a vision, that would be good. But for me, it would be the manager who would be number one for me. Which I'd nothing against Kiel, but I don't hope it's not. But I just think it would just stabilised. I just think we need to be stabilised a little bit, I think.
In terms of when it comes to the transfer activity in the summer in particular, I mean, I guess they probably have a bit of work on their hands if you consider the amount of players who are contracts coming up, so they'd have to get to work straight away on that, on those that you want to keep. But in terms of the amount of loanees that will go back as well, and there will be a bit of a rebuild, but we've seen that every window, basically. You've had to ship players out, a couple have come in, not enough in many cases. But there is going to be a big rebuild now, but you hope that they start to find the sort of players that would help build a squad that would stay here for 2-3 seasons now, something you can build a base on, the spine of the team that they talk about. You want something that you can build on in terms of stability of a squad.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, obviously, the transfer, like you say, there's a load of people that's not going to be here, loanees, and obviously, you know, Cashy's deal runs out at the end of the year, doesn't it? So, and it's not going to be an easy job. So, I mean, it'll depend on how much resources they're going to be able to stump up for the new manager, because it's, you know, you can't just go and pick a player from nowhere. You've got to do the research, you've got to have your way of playing and get the players to fit that system. So it's a long process, but yeah, I mean, it all depends on, you know, who they bring in and how much money they're going to give. So it's going to be difficult, but it's a challenge that we've done before. Powley done it before, and he rebuilt it from scratch. So it is possible. You just need the right foundations in place for it to work.
Tell, what's your final word on the takeover?
I tend to agree with Nathan on that. I think what I'd like probably ought to add to that is that there are a few people out there assuming that we have to have an endless amount of money to succeed, and that's not true. We've proven it, that it's not necessary before. There are clubs proving it still: Huddersfield, Watford, Brighton, to a lesser extent, in the Premier League, without having absolutely spent, without oil-rich barons fronting the money. So it is possible. It's difficult, of course. It's difficult, and it's not going to happen in 5 minutes. I think all I want is, as a lot of people have said now, is a bit of stability back, a bit of proper Charlton back. And let's do things the way we used to do it, i.e. properly as a club. And we'll succeed. If we do everything properly and run the club properly and the playing side properly and get the right people in, then success will come.
Yeah, and that'll be a good way to start, and that will certainly start to bring the fans back. Lewis Neary says Ben Amos will be first on that list in the summer. I wasn't convinced at first, but he's been consistently good for most of the season. And Nicholas Riley says, is there anything in the fact that Alan Kirbishley was there yesterday? I mean, I can only assume that my chat with him on Love Sport Radio on Thursday got him the Charlton bug again.
He's
stalking, had to come down.
That's, what it is. Yeah. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any reason why he's here yesterday, but it was great to see him here. He'll always be a legend to me. Right, flown by the last Charlton Athletic, Charlton Live of the Du Châtelet era has just come to an end.
Let's hope.
Sad times. You're a club employee, you're not allowed to say that, Terry.
I'm not an employee.
Yeah, well, volunteer, whatever. Right, tonight's show. Thank you for joining us. Nathan Antel, thanks for being
here.
Cheers, lads. Hope you've enjoyed the show. All of you who've listened in, thanks for your emails and your tweets. Don't forget Love Sport Radio tomorrow night at 9 o'clock for us. That's your Monday night. Thursday night, we'll be back with a big match preview. Not sure what's going to happen next Sunday because it's Easter Sunday. So I'll let you know during the week via Twitter. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Is he gone?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.